Hello, it is Thursday, July 22nd. I am Trent Rinesmith. This is the Come On Now MMA podcast, and here is what's on the agenda for today. Open up, I'm going to try and make sense of what's going on with Michael Chandler, Justin Gaethje, and their spot in the lightweight division, and why Gaethje does not want to fight Chandler, because I think he needs to. Gilbert Burns dismisses the criticism from Dana White, and I think that he's correct in doing so, and I'll explain why. Dustin Poirier says that Conor McGregor is just full of excuses, and he was full of excuses after the last loss too, so it's hard to disagree with Mr. Poirier in that way. And I can't stand why fighters are giving credit to Conor McGregor for something he doesn't deserve credit for. Little one on the Diaz brothers and Brandon Moreno, and a pick and preview for the UFC Vegas 32 main event between Corey Sandhagen and TJ Dillashaw. And now, on with the show. I'm trying to make sense of the drama here that's going on in the lightweight division between Michael Chandler and Justin Gaethje. So, from what Gaethje is saying, and if I remember correctly, this is how it was trending to shake out back in March, in that Gaethje was expecting to fight Chandler for the vacant title after Khabib Nurmagomedov had, quote-unquote, officially retired, even though he had officially retired sometime prior to that. Dana White wasn't receptive to that retirement. So in March, Gaethje tweeted, and he just retweeted this, and that's what brought this to my attention. I woke up yesterday to train for a matchup with Chandler on May 15th, expecting a bout agreement any moment. Today, that is not the case. I don't know what I do yet, but I like this feeling. It was a good day at sparring practice. And that's from, again, March 19th. And we know that that fight didn't take place. Instead, Charles Oliveira faced Michael Chandler, and Oliveira won that fight. And now Charles Oliveira is the champion, and he is going to face, from what we are led to believe, he is going to face Dustin Poirier, who is coming off a win over Conor McGregor. And that leaves Justin Gaethje still in, just hanging out. And he hasn't fought since he lost to Khabib in October 2020. And when the fight was announced that it was going to be Oliveira and Chandler, UFC President Dana White said that Gaethje, quote-unquote, couldn't be in a better position at that time in March. And, well, we see where he is at right now, which is without a fight and squabbling with Michael Chandler on social media. So here's where we're at now. Chandler, I think, is looking to fight. Chandler, who's number four in the lightweight division, is looking to fight Gaethje, who is number two. And here is what Chandler said to MacLife. He's been asked to fight me three or four times. Every time he's declined. He and I are ranked two spots away from each other. He's not fought since last October. He needs to get a fight, and if he thinks he's going to fight for the title. And he then went, for some reason, him and his camp have no interest in fighting me, so that's the fight I want. That's the way it should be. Two of the best guys fighting. It's also a fight that I know the fans want to see. Yeah, and I wouldn't mind seeing that fight. I think it makes sense, but Gaethje does not seem to be interested in it now. And here's what he said on July 21st on Twitter. Michael Chandler is talking out of his ass. I was waiting for the bout agreement 3 weeks into camp and wake up to news his daddy Dana gave him the shot. He's been out of commission since the KO. What am I missing? I'm on vacay, and this effer is slandering my name three or four times. And so that's where we're at. I don't know why Gaethje wouldn't want to fight Chandler at this point. He's not going to get a title fight. And the longer he sits out, the longer the odds of that title fight get. So if he's thinking he's going to get a title fight off a loss to Khabib after Oliveira beat Chandler, and then after the fight between Poirier and Oliveira takes place, if he thinks he's going to get the winner of that, I don't think that's going to happen. And when would that happen anyway? So he's going to be out, if he's going to wait for the winner of that, well over a year, and I don't think he gets that. Yeah, he's ranked number two, but he's coming off a loss, and there's activity in that division. There's a lot of activity in that division, and I don't care who you are or who your manager is. If you're not active, you're going to be overlooked, unless you're Conor McGregor, but he's not Conor McGregor. And so I don't really understand this thinking of why Michael Chandler can't get a fight, why Ali Abdelaziz will not agree to book Gaethje and Chandler, why this is a big deal. I don't get it, because while this is going on, Islam Makhachev is cruising up the rankings. Beneil Dariush is cruising up the rankings. And then what? What do we got? We got these two guys just sitting around waiting and not fighting. And, you know, Tony Ferguson is not going to get a title fight. Rafael Dos Anjos is not going to get a title fight. Dan Hooker is not going to get a title fight. But you got Poirier next. Gaethje should be fighting Chandler. Dariush is number three. Makhachev, who knows who he's going to fight. Dan Hooker's calling for that fight. And Gaethje needs to get back in the octagon. If Chandler wants the Gaethje fight, but Gaethje doesn't want that fight, well, then Chandler is going to get a different fight, because Chandler is not going to, I don't think, sit around and wait. Gaethje seems to be happy with that. I don't understand it. If I was Gaethje's manager, I would see the writing on the wall here. And that writing says the longer you go without getting this dude to fight, the longer he's going to have to wait to probably get a title fight. And I don't know what Dana White could be telling Ali Abdelaziz, but I wouldn't believe any of it. So if Justin Gaethje's refusing to fight Michael Chandler here, unless I'm missing something huge, I think he's making a big mistake by not facing him. Gilbert Burns took some heat from UFC president Dana White after he beat Stephen Thompson. White was dismissive of the win, kind of said it was boring, but let's not forget, Burns was coming off a knockout loss to UFC welterweight champion Kamaru Usman. He knew that Thompson was a dangerous fighter. He knew he needed that win to stay in the title picture, and so he fought. I wouldn't say it was a boring fight by any means. I would say it was a smart fight. White somehow mistakes smart for boring, but that's Dana White. And here's what Gilbert Burns had to say about that criticism. At first, this is to Mike Heck. At first he said, "I caught myself saying sorry. I said, you know what, boo? I don't care." And that's the right attitude to have, because, you know, you fought smart, you won, you stayed in the title picture, and now you have fighters you can call out and try and get yourself back into a title fight. And here's what Burns also had to say. "White is very hard nowadays. Dana White's very emotional, for sure. He wants my fight to be a banger. He wants Conor McGregor's fight to be a banger, and I understand. As a promoter, that's what you have to do. I understand his opinion, but I don't rely on it. That's not going to define what I do next. After Ngannou lost the title shot, who was his first fight? How was that fight? Who won that fight? Derek Lewis. It wasn't Francis, so every weekend White makes fights, and he said the same thing about Cyril Gane a couple fights ago. I don't like that performance, and now he's fighting for the interim title." And so, yeah, I think Burns is looking at this with clear eyes, and he knows that while White will get pissed off if a fight doesn't, you know, light up the internet and with a Sports Center moment, he'll get mad about that, and he'll blow off steam about that, and he'll try and get the, and this is all just trying to get the fighters to fight more aggressive the next time and quote unquote give the fans what they want. But Burns is 100% correct here. Dana White shit on Cyril Gane, and now he is giving him a title fight, and he did this. He took a dump on Gane, and this is now the third main event that Gane is fighting in. And Gane acknowledged White's comments, but I don't think he's going to change, especially not for Derek Lewis, because if he does that, he'll just put himself in danger. You know, these fighters, I think, rely a little too much on, or count a little too much on what Dana White says. And I think Burns has the right attitude here. I think Gon has the right attitude. Your job is to win. And if you win, you get more money. And then you also, your contract also advances and you get a bigger deal your next fight out. And if you lose, none of that happens. Sure, you'll fight an exciting fight. But if you lose, how does that benefit you? It doesn't. The UFC doesn't remember that you were exciting. It doesn't care in the big picture that you were exciting. It just makes no sense. You need to look after your future, your life, your contract, your money. And if the UFC wants a banger, so what? You go out and you win. And if you win in a spectacular fashion, great. If you win in a decision, so what? You still won and you still move on. Don't take what Dana White thinks into under advisement for this, because his job is not to sell you. It's to sell the UFC. And he'll tell you that he's interested in you, but big picture, it's the three letters that interest Dana White more than you as a fighter. We've seen that over and over and over and over. He doesn't care. He just cares about UFC. So Gilbert Burns has the right attitude here, and hopefully he keeps that attitude and gets himself back in a title fight, because he's been looking very good as of late. And I thought the Thompson fight was excellent. I thought he fought smart. He mixed up his wrestling and grappling and his striking. And what else could he do? That's his, you know, if that's his bread and butter, then that's how he wins and that's how he moves on. And who cares what Dana White has to say? Dustin Poirier spoke to Teddy Atlas about the excuses that Conor McGregor made in the aftermath of the UFC 264 fight, where Poirier won by Dr. Stoppage TKO after McGregor's leg broke. The word was that McGregor had stress fractures, and then Dana White said he had chronic arthritis. But what we saw at the start of the fight makes me doubt that, because McGregor just went out and started kicking the hell out of Poirier. And if you have a broken leg, or you know your leg's injured and you know it's compromised, you don't just go out there and start blasting kicks. You fight a little smarter than that. And so I don't buy any of this. And I think Poirier's right when he says it's just excuses. And here's what he told Teddy Atlas. Right off the bat, mentally, I just feel like it's weak, it's excuses, but I'm trying not to read too far into it or go down these days of reading what videos are out and what people are saying, because I'm back home with my family. It's a win on my record. I know I did what I needed to do in the fight, pre-fight, and my training camp. I crossed and checked all the boxes I needed to check, gave it my all, and then went out there. And like we're saying, it's noise. Whatever people are going to say or he's going to say, it is what it is. I'm healthy. I'm safe. I'm back home. Have another win on my record. And I'm still the number one contender. So those are the facts. 100% true. 100% true. And here is why I think we should cast some doubt on what Conor McGregor says about this leg. Because Poirier just wants to remind you what happened after he knocked McGregor out earlier this year. There were a lot of excuses in that last one, too. He was getting ready to box. He wasn't focusing on mixed martial arts. He was getting ready to fight Manny Pacquiao. And a lot of reasons, a lot of excuses. If you're training for a fight, you're going to go into a fight week with something going on. Whether it's an elbow, a wrist, a hand, an ankle, something's going to be busted up. Yeah, I 100% agree here with Dustin Poirier. These are all excuses. It's all noise. We don't know why the leg break happened. It happened, and with it, Dustin Poirier got a win, and now he has two wins over McGregor. And, you know, I think this fight was unlike McGregor and his coach. From what I saw, the fight was on its way to being a Dustin Poirier fight after the first round. I know McGregor and John Kavanaugh think otherwise, but I also think that they are nuts, because it was not going well for McGregor at all. But we won't know for sure, but we, you know, We know what happened, and that's Poirier won. McGregor's out with a broken leg. Poirier's going to fight for the title, and that's it. All the rest is noise, and hopefully Conor McGregor shuts up about this, but I don't see that happening because he's just going to bring this up and up and up, and Dana White's going to start selling it, and my feeling that we're going to see a fourth fight if McGregor continues the fight is, you know, 90% yes, just because Dana White's going to be the one saying, well, you know, fights can't end that way. Fights can end that way. This one did. McGregor doesn't deserve a fourth shot at Poirier, but we know what sells, don't we? Speaking of Conor McGregor, Aspen Ladd had some things to say about him, and I fully disagree with what she had to say. So this is what she said. I think the only thing that I saw that he handled incorrectly was his post-fight interview, but the dude was in pain. Everybody's basically crapping all over him, but he just broke his leg. He just lost the fight. He's not in a good mental place. And this is the part I really take some umbrage with. Anybody hating on him really shouldn't be. He's done so much for the sport. It's almost the same as Rousey. What's your take on her? It's like everybody should be grateful. Sure, you want you might want to do that, but these people have elevated the sport. You did a great job. You helped all of us. Ronda Rousey helped the women in the UFC. I agree with that, because in the early days it was the Ronda Rousey show. UFC president Dana White agreed with that. He said that it was all about Rousey and that it was an experiment and we'd see how it would go. And when Rousey left, the women's division stayed. So the experiment, the Ronda Rousey experiment, worked. And in that way, Ronda Rousey helped helped women fighters in the UFC. There's no doubt about that. But McGregor, I don't think McGregor helped fighters overall. There's this idea that he raised the pay in the UFC and MMA in general, and I see zero evidence of that. Zero. Absolutely no evidence of that. If you can show me differently, fine. But the only thing I think that Conor McGregor did was, one, benefit himself, which, yeah, that's what he's supposed to do. Two, benefit the UFC, which we know that's the UFC's business, but it was kind of gross that they reportedly took half of his pay or any of his pay to allow him, quote-unquote, allow him to fight Floyd Mayweather. So that was shitty. And I think he helped the UFC sell itself to ESPN as well. So where has he helped the other fighters? I mean, he really hasn't, because the UFC doesn't care about the fighters. The UFC cares about the three letters, and if Conor McGregor can help them, well, then they're happy, he's happy. But the fighters are still, all the other fighters, the majority of the other fighters are still in the same place. And sure, okay, a couple fighters got paid a little more, maybe, reportedly, to fight Conor McGregor. So maybe help those few fighters. But so what? Overall, Conor McGregor doing what he did had zero to do with Aspen Ladd or any of the other fighters that he never faced. I mean, he legitimately tries to undercut others, from what we're told, in that no fighter on one of his headlining pay-per-view events gets a cut of the pay-per-view. So how's that helping anybody? Again, he's helping himself, and he's helping the UFC, and he's helping ESPN and Disney, but he's not helping the vast majority of the UFC roster. Cut that shit out. Stop it. It's not true. Random thought here. The Diaz brothers and Brandon Moreno should have a buddy comedy. Put that on Fight Pass. I'll watch it. And now, time to talk about the main event of Saturday's fight card. Corey Sandhagen, TJ Dillashaw, and the odds are right now looking at William Hill, Sandhagen's minus 190, Dillashaw plus 160. Not bad. If I had money to bet, I would put it on Sandhagen. One reason is that Dillashaw hasn't fought for over 2 years. We know he got suspended for the use of EPO when he got knocked out in that fight by Henry Cejudo, trying to get down to 125 pounds. He said it was just to help him lose weight. I don't buy that excuse for 1 second. He cheated. He got caught. And he sat out for 2 years. In that 2 years, remember that Sandhagen was very new to the UFC when Dillashaw fought Cejudo. He actually fought on that card. It was his third fight. He beat Mario Bautista. And since then, he has defeated John Lineker, Rafael Assunção, Marlon Moraes, and Frank Yeager in that last fight, which might be a knockout of the year. And he also lost to Aljamain Sterling, but one blip in that run is nothing to really get concerned about. So while all that was happening, Dillashaw was outside. And sure, Dillashaw could drill and he could get better in that way, but he's not getting better in a competition way. So you can drill all you want, you can spar all you want, but unless you're fighting, you know, fighters in your division, fighters who are a lot bigger than you, which Sandhagen is. Sandhagen's 5'11 to Dillashaw's 5'6, 70-inch reach to a 67-inch reach, and he hasn't been fighting fighters like that. I think the division has moved on, it has progressed, and Sandhagen is one of those fighters who has shown that. Same with Petr Yan, same with Sterling. This is not the 135-pound weight division that TJ Dillashaw was ruling in 2 years ago. It just is not. And for that reason, I'm picking Sandhagen just because he has been much more active and that he's much different than what Dillashaw was used to fighting before. So he's long, he's powerful. Excuse me. He's a little unorthodox, and his output is high. Let's run down here the tail of the tape. Sandhagen's 29, Dillashaw's 35, 14-2 for Sandhagen. Dillashaw's 16-4, 6 knockout wins. Sandhagen 8 for Dillashaw, 3 subs each, 5 decision wins each. Gave you the height and reach. Significant strikes landed per minute. 6.85 for Sandhagen, 5.37 for Dillashaw. Accuracy for Sandhagen is 48%, 41% for Dillashaw. Strikes absorbed per minute, 3.89 for Sandhagen, 3.03 for Dillashaw. Defense, 59% and 65% for Dillashaw. And I don't expect this one to go to the ground, so I'm not really going to go over that. I'm picking Sandhagen to come out aggressive and get the knockout win early over Dillashaw. I just don't think that Dillashaw has been able to progress as much as he would have needed to over these past 2 years. I think that time off is going to hurt him. I think the age is going to hurt him. I think the skill is going to hurt him. And that's not to say that Dillashaw is a bad fighter. He is not. I just think this is a different time for him, a different time for bantamweight, and that he is not ready for it. This fight will help him, will show him what he needs to fix, and I think he'll still be in the picture. And I think this fight, even if he loses, which I expect him to, will help him. But I don't think he'll get past Sandhagen here. And I think this is the fight that gets Sandhagen the title fight he deserves. But if Dillashaw pulls the upset, same thing. He's going to be right in a title fight because we know Dana White loves himself some TJ Dillashaw for some reason. So this is a very important fight for the bantamweight landscape. But my prediction is Corey Sandhagen with a knockout early, first or second round. And TJ Dillashaw is still going to be in the picture after this. And I think even with a loss, it helps him move forward if that can happen with a knockout loss. But I think he'll learn. I think he'll learn what he needs to upgrade to fight with the current bantamweights. However, I don't know how long he's going to be able to fight since he is, you know, 35. So he needs to get right back on the horse if he loses. If he wins, He's right back in the mix for a title shot. And that's all I have for today. And so until post UFC Vegas 32, everyone stay safe. (Clears throat)